A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's moving apartments about 500 meters across the city, and he's been down a rabbit hole on industrial moving supplier websites. He's got the budget set up, a platform truck, ratchet straps, Euro boxes, and a clipboard for the Hy-Vee's Night Run aesthetic. But the prompt is a fantasy scenario. What if he woke up a multi-millionaire tomorrow and decided to buy the most absurdly over-engineered DIY moving setup a private individual could possibly assemble? Seventh floor, tiny elevator, 500 meters of urban flat terrain. Go all out.
I love that he specifies he'd buy the gear rather than hire movers. That's the key. It's not a cost question, it's an identity question.
The man who would rather own a spider crane than pay someone else to touch his Euro boxes. I respect it.
The timing's perfect, too. It's late June, moving season is peaking, and the gap between what a sensible person rents and what actually exists on industrial supplier websites is genuinely wild. Most people never see this stuff. You rent a dolly from U-Haul, you're done. But there's a whole hidden world of gear designed for factories and construction sites that you can just...
if you have the money and a questionable relationship with practicality.
So let's ground this first. Daniel's current setup is actually pretty smart for what it is. A platform truck runs you about $100 to $200. Ratchet straps, $20. Euro boxes are the expensive part. A decent set can hit $200 to $300. But they stack, they're uniform, they don't collapse. And he's hoping to add a stair climbing dolly, which for a manual, Maglin or Gemini, is around $400 to $600 new.
He's on the seventh floor with an elevator that's 60 centimeters wide. That is brutally narrow. Most standard dollies are 50 to 70 centimeters wide, so even the Magliner might not fit sideways. You're talking about angling things in, or realizing some gear just lives at ground level.
Which is already a constraint that pushes you toward creative solutions. But the moment you start looking at stair-climbing dollies, you realize there's a whole spectrum. It's not one product category, it's an entire engineering discipline hiding in plain sight. You've got manual track units like the Maglin or Gemini, human-powered, you're doing the work, but the tracks glide over stair edges instead of bashing into them. Then you step up to powered stair climbers, battery units in the $2,000 to $5,000 range that do the lifting for you but still need a person to guide and balance.
It's not set it and forget it. You're still steering a fridge up a stairwell at 2 in the morning.
Still very much involved. And then there's the robotic tier, self-leveling platforms that can autonomously haul a refrigerator upstairs, $10,000 to $20,000 or more. That's where you cross from helpful tool into I have replaced the mover with a robot and also my savings account.
Daniel's doing night moves. Beer, high-vis, clipboard. The whole operation has a kind of covert ops energy to it.
Which I fully endorse. The clipboard is a genuine psychological tool. Nobody questions a man with a clipboard at 2 a.m. He's clearly supposed to be there.
It's the universal uniform of this is official business. Move along. I once saw a guy in a Hy-Vee's vest and hard hat walk straight past a security checkpoint at a construction site, and the guard just nodded at him. The guy wasn't even carrying tools, just a clipboard and a look of mild annoyance. It's like an invisibility cloak made of bureaucracy.
There's actual research on this. Social psychologists call it the uniform effect. People defer to symbols of authority or official function without even processing them consciously. A clipboard signals, I am conducting an audit or inventory, which is the most boring possible explanation for someone's presence. The brain doesn't flag boring things as threats.
The baseline is sensible but strained. Seventh floor, a 60 centimeter elevator that might not fit your dolly. 500 meters of flat urban terrain, and a timeline that involves sprinting boxes through empty streets after midnight. That's the reality. Everything we add from here is fantasy escalation.
Let's start with the stair climbers, because that's where the engineering gets fascinating. The manual Magliner Gemini uses a tracked system. Think of it like a miniature tank tread on each side of the dolly. When you hit a stair, the tracks rotate, and instead of the wheel slamming into the riser, the track lays itself across the step edge and rolls upward. You're still doing the work, but the mechanism converts what would be a jarring impact into a smooth glide.
It's not making it lighter. It's making it not terrible.
The physics of stair climbing is mostly about managing the transition between steps. A standard dolly wheel hits a vertical face and stops dead. You have to yank it up. A tracked unit bridges that gap. Think of it like the difference between dragging a suitcase upstairs versus rolling it up a ramp. The powered versions, like the battery-operated S100-style units, add a motor to the track drive. You still guide and balance the load, but the machine does the lifting. $2,000 to $5,000, depending on the model and weight capacity.
Here's where I want to pause on the physics for a second, because I think it's worth understanding what balancing the load actually means. If you're moving a fridge up a staircase, the center of gravity shifts with every step. On a manual unit, you're constantly making micro-adjustments. Leaning the dolly back a little more on the steep steps, pulling it forward as you crest the landing. Your body is the gyroscope.
And that's exhausting over 7 floors. Even with the tracks doing the impact absorption, you're still fighting gravity the whole way. The powered units reduce that, the motor takes the weight, you just steer. But the robotic tier is where the machine does the balancing too. Self-leveling platforms with gyroscopic stabilization. They sense the angle of the stairs and adjust the load platform in real time to keep it horizontal. You can load a fridge onto one of these, program the destination, and it'll climb the stairs autonomously while keeping the fridge perfectly level. $10,000 to $20,000. It's essentially a small robot that does one thing extremely well.
Which brings us to Daniel's elevator. 60 centimeters wide. Even if you buy a $15,000 robotic stair climber, you still have to get it into the building. And most of these units are 50 to 70 centimeters wide. So you might own the most sophisticated stair climbing robot in the neighborhood and still be doing the angle and shimmy dance at the elevator door.
That constraint is the silent killer of this whole fantasy. The elevator doesn't care about your budget. 60 centimeters is 60 centimeters. You could disassemble some gear at the ground floor and reassemble it upstairs. But a robotic stair climber isn't exactly IKEA furniture. It's a sealed industrial unit with wiring harnesses and calibration. You crack that case open, and suddenly you're voiding warranties on a $15,000 machine.
You might end up leaving the expensive gear at street level and shuttling boxes down to it, which defeats half the purpose.
Or you bypass the elevator entirely, which is where the spider crane enters the conversation.
Okay, I've been waiting for this. Tell me about the spider crane.
The spider crane is the screw-the-elevator solution. These are mini-crawler cranes. Maeda and Unic are the big names, designed to fit through standard doorways. We're talking about machines that are maybe 60 to 80 centimeters wide in transport mode, with outriggers that extend once they're in position. They can lift anywhere from 1 to 3 tons, which is absurd overkill for apartment contents, but that's the point of the fantasy.
How does it actually work for a 7th floor move?
You'd need balcony access or a large window that opens fully. The crane sits inside the apartment or on the balcony, outriggers extend to stabilize. They spread the load so you're not punching through the floor, and then the boom extends outward and downward. You lower a hook or a platform to the street, someone loads it, and you winch everything up. It's the vertical equivalent of just ignoring the stairs and elevator entirely.
You're essentially turning your apartment into a shipping port for one night.
A very expensive shipping port. A new Maeda mini crane runs $30,000 to $60,000. Rental is $500 to $1,000 per day. And here's where the math gets interesting. Hiring full-service movers for a one-bedroom across 500 meters typically costs $1,000 to $2,500. So renting the crane for a day actually costs less than hiring movers. But you're doing all the work yourself. You're the crane operator, the rigger, the loader.
Presumably, you need some kind of training or certification to operate one.
Legally, it depends on the jurisdiction, but practically, yes, you want training. These things are lifting heavy loads 7 stories up over a public street. The liability alone should make anyone pause. But in the fantasy scenario where Daniel's a millionaire with a clipboard and a dream, he's getting certified. He's taking a weekend course. He's becoming the guy.
The guy with a spider crane certification and a high-vis vest. That's a brand.
Now, for the 500-meter street run, once you've got everything at ground level, the electric pallet jack is the smooth solution. Lithium-ion models run $3,000 to $6,000. They're designed for warehouses, not sidewalks, but on flat urban terrain, they'd work beautifully. You load a pallet of Euro boxes, squeeze the throttle, and glide 500 meters at a walking pace. No sweat, no strain, just a gentle hum of industrial efficiency.
The gentle hum of $6,000 for something you use once.
That's the cost-benefit bend. A powered stair climber rental solves the immediate stair problem for about $200 a day, roughly 1.3% of buying a robotic unit outright. An electric pallet jack is overkill unless you're moving a warehouse. And a spider crane, while glorious, requires you to become a crane operator. The sensible line is somewhere around the manual Magliner and a rental-powered climber. Everything beyond that is identity spending.
It's not about the move anymore. It's about who you get to be while doing it.
Let's actually build the fantasy fleet. You're Daniel, you've got unlimited budget, and you wake up tomorrow with a burning desire to own industrial moving equipment. What does the full arsenal look like?
I'm picturing a garage that looks like a construction firm's storage unit, except it's just for one apartment's worth of stuff.
Start with the spider crane. $30,000 to $60,000 for a Meta or Unic Mini, let's call it $45,000 for a solid one-ton model. That handles the seventh floor descent, assuming balcony access. But you still have the elevator mismatch at the new building, so add a powered stair climber for the ground-to-elevator shuttle, another $3,000 to $5,000. Then the electric pallet jack for the 500-meter street run, say $4,000 for a decent lithium-ion unit. And since the new building might have its own quirks, throw in a second powered stair climber just because you can. Another $4,000.
We're at roughly $55,000 to $60,000 before we've moved a single box.
You need a vehicle. A box truck with a hydraulic lift gate, new, that's $30,000 to $50,000, used, maybe $15,000 to $20,000, but we're in fantasy mode, so new it is. Total package, $80,000 to $130,000.
For context, hiring full-service movers for a one-bedroom across 500 meters costs $1,000 to $2,500. So we're talking 40 to 130 times the cost of just paying someone.
That's the number that should make anyone pause. But it won't pause Daniel, because this isn't about cost. It's about control. He said it explicitly. The last movers were an expensive show of misery. They hated the experience, he hated the experience, and he paid a fortune for the privilege. The fantasy isn't, I want to save money. It's I want to never depend on someone else's bad attitude again.
It's the tool collector personality. There's a certain kind of person who looks at a problem and thinks, I could pay someone to solve this, or I could own the means of solving it forever. And the ownership matters more than the math.
The high-vis vest and clipboard are the tell. He's not just moving boxes, he's performing the role of competent logistics professional. The gear is part costume, part capability. You buy the spider crane not because it's efficient, but because operating a spider crane makes you the kind of person who operates spider cranes.
Which is a specific and wonderful kind of person to be. I'm reminded of a friend of mine who bought a commercial-grade pressure washer for his driveway. He could have hired someone for $80. Instead, he spent $2,000 on a machine that could strip paint off a battleship, and now he pressure washes everything. The deck, the fence, the sidewalk, his neighbor's patio. He's not cleaning surfaces. He's becoming the pressure washer guy, and there's genuine joy in that.
That's exactly the dynamic. The tool doesn't just solve the problem. It redefines your relationship to the problem. You stop being someone who needs a thing done and become someone who does that thing. It's a shift from consumer to operator.
Now, the logistics reality is sobering even with unlimited budget. A spider crane needs outrigger stabilization. You're spreading several tons of load across your apartment floor. You need to know the floor's load rating. You need to manage the boom extension carefully so you don't clip neighboring balconies or power lines. You're not just buying a crane. You're buying a whole set of responsibilities.
The robotic stair climber isn't a magic box. You still have to program it, or remote control it, and you still have to load and unload every single Euro box. The gear reduces physical strain. You're not hauling a fridge upstairs by hand, but it doesn't reduce labor hours. You're still touching every item. You're still making all the trips.
The 500-meter run with the electric pallet jack is easy. Squeeze the throttle. Walk alongside. Done. But you're doing it at 2 a.m. in a high-vis vest, probably after a beer, and you're still the one stacking and unstacking pallets at both ends. The gear is glorious. The work is still work.
Then there's the morning after. You've completed the move, you're in the new apartment, and you now own a spider crane.
What does Tuesday look like?
This is the part nobody thinks about. A mini spider crane is not a bookshelf. It needs significant storage space. We're talking a garage bay or a dedicated workshop corner. It needs maintenance. Battery replacement for the powered units every few years. Hydraulic servicing for the crane. Track wear on the stair climbers. These are professional tools designed for daily commercial use. You'd be buying them for a single weekend.
There's a real-world example I came across. Someone bought a mini spider crane for a home renovation, used it for exactly one weekend to lift materials to a third-floor balcony, then sold it at a 30% loss. The depreciation alone was more than hiring movers twice over.
That's the best case. Worst case, it sits in your garage for 5 years while you tell yourself you'll definitely use it again. And the batteries degrade and the hydraulics seize and eventually you're paying someone to haul it away.
The fantasy is beautiful. The reality is, you're buying a professional identity that comes with a storage unit, a maintenance schedule, and a depreciation curve that looks like a cliff.
Here's what I find interesting. I don't think that changes the appeal. For the tool collector personality, the ownership is the point. Even if you sell it at a loss, you had the experience. You were, for one glorious weekend, the person with the spider crane. You didn't hire capability, you were capability.
It's like the difference between renting a tuxedo and owning one. Renting solves the problem. Owning means you're the kind of person who owns a tuxedo. Even if it hangs in the closet for 3 years between weddings, every time you see it, it says something about who you are.
Bringing this back to Daniel's actual move next week, he's not buying a spider crane. What's the one thing that would actually make the biggest difference?
The powered stair climber rental. $100 to $300 a day. It solves the single worst pain point, stairs with that 60-centimeter elevator, without committing to owning industrial gear. You pick it up Friday, you return it Monday. You never think about battery maintenance again.
For the 500-meter sprint, the platform truck he already has is the right tool. Pneumatic tires, if he can swap them. They handle sidewalk cracks and curbs better than solid wheels. An electric pallet jack is beautiful engineering, but it's warehouse equipment. For a dozen Euro boxes across flat urban terrain, the platform truck with ratchet straps is faster to load and unload and costs nothing extra.
Maximize the box size. Euro boxes are already great for this. Uniform, stackable, no wasted space. If you're doing multiple night sprints, the setup time per trip matters more than the transit speed.
The high-vis and clipboard strategy? That's not a joke. That's smart. Night moves attract attention. A couple of guys hauling boxes at 2 a.m. looks like either a burglary or a noise complaint waiting to happen. But a guy in a high-vis vest with a clipboard? That's logistics. That's, I'm supposed to be here, don't interrupt municipal operations.
Perception management is real. The clipboard is the cheapest piece of gear in the whole operation, and it might save you the most hassle. Police drive past, see high-vis, and a clipboard, and their brain files you under boring official thing instead of suspicious activity.
The actual move plan is, rent a powered stair climber for the elevator to street problem, use the platform truck you already own for the street run, wear the vest, carry the clipboard, and do it at night when the streets are empty and the temperature is bearable. Total extra cost, maybe $200 to $300. Everything else is the fantasy.
Which is a good fantasy, but you don't need it next week.
Here's the question that sticks with me. If you actually had the budget, 80, 100 grand burning a hole in your pocket, would you buy the gear or hire the movers? And what does your answer say about you?
I think I'd buy the gear. Not because it makes sense, because I'd want to know I could.
That's it exactly. It's not about the move. It's about the relationship with tools versus labor. Some people look at a problem and see a transaction. Pay money, problem disappears. Other people see a capability gap. Acquire tools, close the gap, and now you're the kind of person who can solve this forever. Neither is wrong, but they're fundamentally different ways of moving through the world.
The funny thing is, in 5 or 10 years, the line between absurd fantasy and reasonable purchase is going to shift. Robotic stair climbers are already dropping in price. Consumer-grade versions, smaller, cheaper, designed for apartment moves rather than construction sites. That's not science fiction. That's a product category waiting to happen.
I could absolutely see a future where everyone has a compact moving robot in their storage closet. Something the size of a large suitcase that unfolds, self-levels, climbs stairs, and hauls 200 kilos. You pull it out once every few years, it does the worst part of the move, and you fold it back up. That changes the whole equation. You're not a weirdo with industrial gear anymore, you just prepared.
The clipboard, though. The clipboard is timeless.
The clipboard will outlast us all. Paper turns to dust, empires fall, but the clipboard endures.
No, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The word amber comes from the Arabic anbar. But in the late 1600s, English speakers in Belize began using it specifically for a type of fossilized tree resin that preserved insects so perfectly you could count their leg hairs. Because the resin hardened underwater in oxygen-free lagoon sediment, preventing decay at the cellular level.
Amber is basically nature's vacuum sealer.
With better presentation. A vacuum sealer gives you a gray brick of meat. Amber gives you a jewelry-grade time capsule with a perfectly intact mosquito.
If you've got a weird prompt for us, a fantasy scenario, a technical rabbit hole, or a problem you're overthinking at 2 in the morning, send it to showofmyweirdprompts.com. We'll build an episode around it.
This has been My Weird Props. Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing.
Go move something heavy.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Props, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.